Dory's grandmother went inside to tidy up the kitchen, then got caught up talking to a neighbor on the phone. When she returned out front 20 minutes later, the bears were still sitting, each with a bite of sandwich and apple in front of its nose. Dory was nowhere to be found. Mr. Petrocelli knew when the first call had been placed to 911. He knew the name of the officer who had responded, what questions were asked, how they were answered. He had notes on the search parties formed, lists of the volunteers who showed up, some of whom he'd asterisked for never giving a satisfactory alibi for what they were doing between 12:15 and 12:35 that afternoon. He knew the dog handlers who volunteered their services, the divers who eventually tended to the nearby ponds. He had 7 days' worth of police and local activity distilled into elaborate chronological graphs and comprehensive lists of names. Then he had the information from my father. I couldn't tell from Bobby's face what he thought of Mr. Petrocelli's presentation. Mr. Petrocelli's voice raised and lowered with various stages of intensity, sometimes even spitting words, as he hashed out obvious failings in what seemed to be a thorough search for a missing girl. Bobby's expression remained impassive. Mr. Petrocelli talked. From time to time, Bobby took notes, but mostly Bobby listened, his face betraying nothing. Personally, I wanted to see the sketch. I wanted to gaze at the face of the man I believed had targeted me, sentenced my family to a lifetime on the run, then killed my best friend. The reality was disappointing. I had expected an angrier-looking man. A black-and-white sketch with dark, shifty eyes, the tattoo of a teardrop topping the right cheek. Instead, the artfully rendered drawing, my father's work most certainly, appeared almost pedantic. The subject was young, early 20s, I would guess. Short dark hair, dark eyes, small, almost refined-looking jawline. Not a thug at all. In fact, the picture reminded me of the kid who used to work in the neighborhood pizza parlor. I studied the drawing for a long time, waiting for it to speak to me, tell me all its secrets. It remained a crude sketch of a young man who frankly could be any one of tens of thousands of 20-year-old dark-haired males who'd passed through Boston. I didn't get it. My father had run from this? Bobby asked Mr. Petrocelli if he had a fax machine. In fact, we could both see one standing on the desk behind Mr. Petrocelli. Bobby explained it might be faster if he faxed the notes, etc., into the office right away for the other detectives to get started. Mr. Petrocelli was overjoyed to have someone finally take his file seriously. I watched Bobby punch in the fax number. He included an area code, which wouldn't have been necessary for a Boston exchange, and the only piece of paper he fed into the machine was the sketch. Bobby sent the rest of the pages through the fax on copy function, helping himself to the duplicates.